Horror Than Horror with your host, the Mighty Griff.
Freaks, fiends, and fucktards.
Oh, boy.
It is once again Saturday, and it is I, the Mighty Griff, bringing you yet another madness-filled episode of More Horror Than Horror with my secondary layered host, Mr. McClaw's Sucking Down White Russian.
Woo-wee!
Squirt and Captain Hats. And
cherry mashes.
So we figured this week we're going to bring back a couple of favorites to the show. The Power Trio from the North,
We got power. Fucking Rush on tonight? Yes! Exactly.
The power
dude.
Duo from the North. The fatal pitcher guys are back.
Oh, look at that. We're going to have a fucking free for all.
Mr. Zach Green and Mr. Richard Powell. Hey, I had medical procedures this morning, so calm down.
Colonoscopies this morning.
Yeah.
We're still on meds.
Yeah,
bear with us.
Meds. I'm still running a little slow.
Thanks for having us back. Good to be here.
It's good to have you guys back with your now award-winning.
Award-winning.
Yes.
Congratulations on that.
Thanks
Festival award for best short picture, I believe, correct?
Yes. Yes, at Chicago Fear Fest.
All right. And well-deserved, I might add. Well-deserved.
Thank you very much.
And the topic of that monstrosity would be the new short film by Fatal Pictures, Familiar. I just fucked that up then.
So. Anything fucked up tonight's going against the colonoscopy.
Yeah, the colonoscopy drug.
We'll write it off to that.
Yeah. Okay. So, give us a little background on the new one, guys. What we got here? What we dealing with?
Why don't you go, Zach? Well, we got the tour. We're talking about the 20-minute, well, 22, 23-minute with the credit roll short film Familiar. It opened up here in Toronto, actually, March 2nd through Fright Nights Fangoria. It played in front of, played before the controversial Japanese film Battle Royale.
Yay.
And it kicked its ass.
And, yeah, that was a really great night. That was on March 2nd here. And then later on, it went to play a night of horror in Australia on March 16th, which was basically the first film festival, I guess you could say. And then played Chicago Fear Fest shortly after that. And like you were saying, it won Best Short Film, which me and Richard were very, very happy about. And, but yeah, let Richard tell you more about the story and the character.
We just want to know what's wrong with Richard.
Psychiatric help is in your future, son.
I think there's something wrong with everybody. I just happened to put it on screen, that's all.
Yeah, likely story.
You guys make it sound so simple, but we know there's more than that.
Yeah. Something's hidden in them closets. Vast closets, I would say. I'm sure there's not just one in your house.
And you guys are getting ready to show it down at Texas Frightmare, too, right? Are you guys going down to that, or is it just screening down there?
Yeah, I think it's just screening. We wanted to get down there, but, I mean, it's the thing is it's really costly, and me and Zach are just poor independent filmmakers, you know what I mean? All of our resources go into our films, but we do plan on making it to a bunch of the screenings. We just, you know, the film's just started having its festival run, so, you know, hopefully sooner than later we can get on some of the screenings and do what some of the most important aspect of the filmmaking is going out there and showing the film and meeting people. Every screening I've ever been to with any of my films, it's been just great meeting other filmmakers and just seeing the reaction to the film. That's something that we really need to do, but, you know, hopefully in the future, not too distant future.
Yeah, well, at least we were in the crowd here for the premiere in Toronto, so we got to see, you know, firsthand, at least for the opening of the movie, how a nice big crowd reacted. I think Kelly Stewart hosted the night. Kelly Stewart from Fangoria here in Toronto. He hosted Fright Nights. I think he said it was about 96% sold out. I think like there's it holds 200, almost 300 seats, I think, the theater, and it was just about sold out. So it was a great screening. We were lucky enough, very fortunate enough to have Familiar screen in front of Battle Royale. Battle Royale just got picked up, I believe, in North America for distribution. So we were lucky enough to Fangoria had the director's cut. So we played in front of that at Fright Nights on March 2nd.
Coattails.
Yeah, we just caught Battle Royale in the theater a couple weeks ago, man. They were showing it was a nice print.
That's awesome. Oh, wow. Everybody's getting a chance to see it finally.
I'd rather have seen Familiar in the theater, but it's all good.
That makes two of us. Three. Yeah, well, me and Richard, hopefully our next feature coming up, we'd love to have a little theatrical run with that. Who knows?
Oh, that'd be a blast, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, who knows? Yeah, I can't speak yet about it, but I'm sure more than likely me and Rich would be pushing for a theatrical release.
Well, come after this, man. They can't hold you guys back after this. There's got to be
full-length
dog.
We're hoping to get, do a feature-length film next.
With Dodd?
We got sweet. crazy Rich writing that puppy.
Oh, yeah.
Right from Richard's brain.
Yeah, I just put some finishing polishes on the draft. So, I mean, it's pretty much ready to go. We just got to go up there and try to get it made, and it'll be good, you know. We're excited to get into the feature-length filmmaking and, you know, hopefully get more people to take a look at us, because as much as we love making short films, not everybody supports them. We're very lucky to have guys like you and your show take a look at it, but not everybody is into it. Not everybody even necessarily looks at it as a valid form of filmmaking, which is silly, but, you know, we were ready to make that leap into feature filmmaking and have wider audiences become aware of us and, you know,
Like Richard was saying, when with short films, with the distribution, you don't have the distribution features have, so not as many people are going to get to see your work, and it won't have as many outlets as a feature film can have, with video on demand, with renting in the stores, buying them at Walmart, this and that. I mean, it's unfortunate short films don't have a life like feature films have, but...
Well, I mean, anybody that watches this can see the potential. I mean, some short films are like, oh, that was cool, 15 minutes. They pretty much did everything they can do with it in 15 minutes. This, it's endless. You can go anywhere with this.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing that's exciting is here's the thing. We make short films, but our minds aren't limited to that. We don't look at the film as a short. We look at it as a film, and we treat it with the same respect we would a feature-length film, and that's why they play the way they do. Our characters are bigger than the films they inhabit. The stories and the themes are bigger than the stories that they inhabit. It's just our financial means, prevent us from making feature-length films. But those are the type of films that we want to make, and just because we're confined to the short film medium doesn't mean we're not going to treat it with the same respect, you know? And I think that's why people that have been appreciating my short film just because of that. They realize we're not just trying to make demo reel films, and we're not just trying to make a funny little gag thing, you know, some sort of gimmicky. We're telling stories with characters and themes and multiple layers.
Well, I don't think nobody's going to laugh when they see Robert on the screen.
No.
They might fucking hide under the covers and piss themselves. That'd be quite a bit, I'm sure.
Have you guys ever tried to piggyback on a major release as like a part of a add-on, like to a special feature or something?
We haven't really. I mean, we wouldn't even really know how to go about doing that. The focus has just been with me and Zach, project to project, just getting better, making the connections to make the next project better. And I think, you know, hopefully with our short films, we'll be able to throw those onto the feature film discs and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, if it comes to just piggybacking onto another project, yeah, I really wouldn't even know how to go.
I'm not even sure of what you're talking about.
Just give Disney a call and see if you can get on the next Pocahontas movie or something.
Well, that would be a great fit.
Start it out with that.
Didn't the Fantasia thing? Didn't they release DVDs with all with a bunch of short movies and stuff on them?
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody does that.
Fantasia,
anymore.
The film festival?
Yeah, that.
No, the Disney film Fantasia.
No, the film festival. Silly goose!
Son, wow,
you're going to confuse our listeners.
Here, no, okay. I just haven't heard of that. Sorry, that's why I'm unaware. I just haven't heard of that.
I don't even know if it's still around anymore. But there used to be the Fantasia Film Festival that they had released a DVD of like all of the top, you know, the ones that they thought were the best of all the movies that were at the festival, and they actually released it into stores where you could actually buy the short movies.
Well, why doesn't Netflix or on demand offer some kind of a category for short films? They've got the Dolly one that's on there that's just a collection of shorts.
Right. Oh, really?
There's got to be an audience for it that's, you know, if you put them on there, then what would it hurt?
Well, maybe that's something somebody
That'd be
needs
one
to...
less fucking Tyler Perry that's on there.
Oh, yeah.
Tom might get worked up if he's not on there, but,
whatever.
You know, what's it going to hurt?
God damn, Tyler Perry.
I guess they couldn't call up Cronenberg and have him piggyback one of their films because their films are probably a lot better than the shit some of
Whoa!
Them. Oh, you want to go?
I didn't.
History of Violence, huh?
You, you didn't like History of Violence?
What? No.
Come on now.
10 minutes of
crazy.
Tits and ass in the little cheerleader outfit was about the best part of that monstrosity.
Don't go there. Don't go there. They did it on the stairs, Griff. What more do you want?
See what I deal with. Bastard.
So what does Robert say when you bring him these scripts now? Does he just cringe or is he excited to lose his mind for 25 minutes?
Yeah, Robert's always been enthusiastic about it. I mean, actually, to be honest, when he first met us and he read the script for Worm, I couldn't say what he was feeling, but he definitely was surprised by some of the things that take place in the film and some of the thoughts this character has. But when it came to Familiar, he was pretty much, we were on the same page and he understood what we were doing. But he knew by Familiar Rich writes some pretty thick shit, so he was ready for it.
Did it take him a while to get into character on it, or did you just roll with it?
There was a bit of, you know, me and him had a back and forth of just phone calls, emails, just talking about the character and just letting, because the thing is, I mean, it's about getting this tone that kind of makes the material work, right? It's not totally dark, and then it's not meant to be completely taken serious. To me, there's a lot of darkly comedic elements. Just the characters, to me, as much as they do despicable things, they're also comedic in the sense that their hatred of the things that they hate and their actions are so extreme. There's something darkly humorous about that. It's like a morbid humor. So between me and Robert just talking about the characters and just getting that rapport, we come to this kind of middle ground where he puts a bit of, you know, his spice into the plot and I put my spice, and you know, the end result is kind of like me and him collaborating. And when I actually originally had written the scripts, they're a lot more cold than what you see on screen. And what Robert brings to the table is he kind of brings a kind of humanity to the character that doesn't necessarily exist
in some of the stuff I write. A lot of the stuff that I write is a little bit more detached, but Robert kind of he tries to humanize the characters a little bit and gives them that extra layer of complexity. So, I mean, at first, yeah, he might have been caught off guard, but now we're kind of this well-oiled machine, and that's why I'm really excited for our feature film version of Worm, because we know each other so well and how to create these type of characters and the tone that I think the feature, it's gonna be really effective, because we've gone through this twice before and we know what we're going after. So, but yeah, no, he's always been very receptive of the ideas that I come up with, and he understands me, and I understand what he brings to the characters. So it's a really good marriage of creative forces.
Yeah, it's great he's getting that involved with the character, you know? I mean, he could just be like, okay, whatever you want me to do,
yeah,
let's go for
it. He really becomes these characters, and you get lost in what he's creating. It's really insane when you watch him. It's like what Richard's words are coming to life.
Does he still have the racing seats in the Toyota?
Oh, that's a good one.
I've been pondering that for months. Does he still have those god awful?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm pretty sure they're in there, though.
He's moved up to a Toyota.
He's moved up, yeah.
He's got a bucket seat, bench seat now. Got rid of the racing
seats.
That's
awesome.
Got me a
bench seat.
I had
forgotten all about those fucking seats.
You know, that's like such a minute detail that I was never even aware of. And that's gone.
Come on, that was in the script. You know it was.
No, dude, that was in Robert's car. That was in Robert's car.
Of course it was. It's fucking Robert's car.
How can you not notice $2,000 racing seats in his car?
He's not going to have regular fucking seats. Come on now.
$2,000 racing seats in a $500 car is not hard to spot.
Here's what I want. I want your top-of-the-line Italian, brother. We ain't fucking around.
Virgin leather.
You got to write those seats into the feature. Those are going to be in the feature for sure now. Yeah.
Put them just in every short film or every feature length from now on. Just have them in the background hiding somewhere. Kind of like Where's Waldo? People just have to be constantly looking for them.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Frightening.
That's great.
Oh.
So when are you guys, you're writing the full length right now?
Oh, yeah, it's done. I'm just polishing it up. It's ready to go.
Man.
So.
I don't think we can handle
Christmas?
It.
Yeah, can we look for, like, Christmas?
Christmas present? Stocking?
Oh, I mean, believe me.
You guys are machines. It'll be before that, even.
I would certainly Richard writes these pretty quickly. I mean, yeah, it's amazing.
To be honest, I started writing the Worm feature draft that I just finished. I started writing that in the middle of pre-production on Familiar, right? So it's been, I guess, about a year, and to me the process feels incredibly slow because I'm being really meticulous with this stuff. I don't want to just make my debut film. I want to make a good debut film. I feel like a lot of people kind of rush out the gates to get their first film done, and they don't really kind of put the care into it that it deserves.
You can tell though, man, with what you guys are doing with the shorts, man. It's gonna be turn out great.
Really,
yeah,
appreciate that. Very nice.
We're very confident. That's the thing. By doing these short films, we're really sharpening our knives. You know, we're getting ready to do this. So. And that's one thing. I mean, regardless of what your short film, regardless if you make a short film that wins awards or not, or is critically acclaimed or not, it's so important to just develop your skills before you try to do that feature film. And
we'll have to come up to Toronto when you screen it up there for the big fiasco.
Oh, that'd be incredible.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Griffin's
do
it.
I would love to get familiar into a film festival out in Missouri where you are.
Damn it, they just had the one going on here, man. We just had the film festival this last weekend.
No, we can
make
Which
it happen.
Festival?
It was just Kansas City Film Fest, wasn't it, Todd?
God, they're awful.
That's what I mean. You guys would kick them right in the nuts. They see some shit like this, they wouldn't even know what to do.
We got Crypticon coming
really?
Up.
Really? I wasn't
even
there.
Yeah, man. We got Crypticon coming up in August.
Yeah, Crypticon. I believe I was speaking to the gentleman who runs that.
Hey, I just thought of something. We're doing the Horror on the Boulevard this year again.
How about in the drive-in? We could show you on the drive-in.
Yeah, if you guys.
Wow, that's cool.
That's
awesome.
It's where is it? Is it Marion?
Marion.
Yeah, Marion, Kansas, which is just outside of Kansas City, Kansas.
Wow. But, that's
yeah,
awesome.
It's October. No, September.
Yeah, we still got the old school drive-ins October. Here, where you go up to the big outdoor theater and.
Wow, that's sick! Yeah, don't we have some of those here, Rich?
We could,
yeah,
throw, man. They could know, throw that on.
It's
surely
almost
between.
Driving season up here, so I'm glad to go.
Yeah, that'd be great because they're all digital, man. They could show anything out there.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah, that would be
sure
amazing.
Would be up for that.
I'll send you the information tomorrow, Zach.
Please do.
Yeah, that'd be a blast. We could get either that going or Crypticon, man. That'd be a blast.
It would be an honor to be either
both.
Of those. Please,
we'll do both.
I'd love to get the film out to a lot of the people out there so they can check it out.
Oh, that'd be a blast.
Fuck it, we'll just do both of them.
We'll do both. It's happening.
What about
Todd? Todd's got a big sheet-eating grin on his face. So that's a green light all the way.
Todd's who's the chick that's Horror Hound affiliated? Todd.
Oh, you're talking about Jessica?
Yeah. Hell, get you into the Horror Hound, Indianapolis.
Yeah, the Horror Hound magazine.
Yeah.
Well, they got the convention coming up in Indianapolis too.
I got one in September.
Horror Hound does like two or three conventions a year out there. Or more, I think they do even more than that.
But
now.
Jessica, she's got a show here on Jackalope that she does, and she does the something with the Horror Hound magazine.
She's the main writer there.
Main writer.
That's great. I'd like to meet her. I'd like to get her the film, see what she thinks about Familiar.
Okay. Yeah, we can.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Get some information to you guys. See if we can get the wildfire started.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yes.
Todd's the one with all those contacts. Yeah. We're not privileged to that information. They keep us in the dark.
He dangles them in front of us every once in a while. Oh, really? Did you know that this gal's on here, too?
I'm not that mean to y'all.
We're kind of like the mutant stepchild that's left in the cage and only fed small
He knows
portions
as long as we
meat.
Got our movies to watch every week, we're content.
That's it.
I throw him a movie that he can't find every once in a while, and he lets me come on the air once an hour a week and act like a buffoon, so...
It works out.
Got to feed the
us.
Beast, I guess.
That's right. Oh. It works out for everyone.
What time we got? We running?
We're getting ready to go to a commercial.
Oh, geez, commercial time.
I had that Jedi sense that it was almost time for break.
I think that was your colonoscopy pills kicking in. I think that was you having to go take a crap.
I think a portion of my lightsaber just slid down the back of my leg.
Wow.
So are we going to break and coming back with these guys?
Fine. That's fine.
All right. Well, hold on, guys, and we'll be back as soon as we take this break, and we'll get something else started.
Sounds good.
Do you wanna hover 2 hours the end of summer? To love with you. We're back.
With the Raging Canadian.
We had to save them for that festive amount of metal that they were listening to during the break.
Primal Rock Rebellion, man. It's got to be nice to Maiden.
Not like Steaming Peters.
Got to be nice to Maiden at all times.
Goddamn sausage fest.
Or else the goddamn buttons get turned.
It went from green to red before we knew what happened.
We got guests tonight. You can't be pushing them.
Yeah. These guys stayed up late to talk to us, Todd.
They'll say that's never stopped.
It's like
us 4
a.m. there right now.
Yeah. You'd be nice. They'll throw snowballs at you.
Yeah, well,
different time zone over here.
I know. You guys are flying high, man. Shit, I'd be Z-ing it away right now.
Red Bulls for everybody.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Be good nice. Time.
I think Richard doesn't do Red Bulls. I think he's beyond the Red Bulls.
Everybody needs to do Red Bulls.
Richard, are you a fan of the Red Bulls?
Yeah, from time to time. Why not?
See?
Okay.
Everybody flies.
I'm at the moment enjoying a nice big squirt and some White Russian.
You might want to try to rephrase that.
Well, it squirts a delicious liquid substance. I love it.
And the color bean.
Oh, bean. I like beans.
Lord.
Oh. So what else is on the horizon? Are we... What have we watched lately? I mean, obviously, you guys have some downtime. What are you guys?
Yeah, what influences you?
I mean, obviously, like horror is obviously, you know, that's the one thing me and Zach always try to push is, you know, we're horror guys. But if you watch the films, I mean, I hope it's obvious to people that we have an appreciation of dramatic film as well. I mean, especially with Familiar and Worm, they're both essentially dramatic character studies, and especially in Familiar, there's just these horror elements dropped in, right? So to me, I mean, as much as I love horror films, and that was a big part of my, you know, being raised watching horror films, as I got older, I got into dramatic film and just, you know, like even art house stuff, you know what I mean? Like anything you'd find in the Criterion Collection, just I have an appreciation for all types of films, but especially horror and drama, so... That's my inspiration pretty much comes from mixing those two genres and kind of getting this hybrid film where you have the character development, narrative and plot structure developments that you'd find in a dramatic film, but then you kind of have these extremist elements, you know, like the self-mutilation, the monsters and all that other stuff from the horror element.
Is that from your Tyler Perry influence?
I think it is, yeah.
Mutilating.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's the godfather, right?
Mutilating the audience.
Yeah.
Butchering us.
He does it every movie.
On like a scale of 1 to 4, where would this be like a chance of a romantic comedy being this new full length? Is that going to happen at all?
Probably.
Is there going to be two people singing in a car together?
Romantic comedy.
In the racing scene.
Actually, there is, but it doesn't quite end up as romantic and happy as you would hope.
It's kind of hard to make out
in
racing
seats. There's the
racing
seats right there, baby.
It's kind of hard to make out in racing
seats. That's really funny. Yeah, there is actually a pretty prominent scene in the film with just two characters in a car.
Sweet.
So, yeah, there you go. You're tuned in.
Hell yes. See? Yes.
See, that's the part that they cut out. That was in the director's cut of Familiar when he told his daughter to take the car. He meant to tell her not to get the fucking racing seats dirty.
Do you guys have the crazy pro-lifers up there? Have you gotten any heat at all from that?
Not really. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's more of a big deal down where you guys are.
We're in the Bible Belt. It'd be a big deal, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. But
unfortunately, I mean,
we get mad about anything. We just watch you guys get pissed off. You know what I mean?
We got tornadoes. Yeah. We're always on edge around here.
Yeah.
But it's an integral part of the story.
Wouldn't imagine people would be offended or anything. There's much worse movies out there, but I mean, if someone would say something, I would just say, you know, I mean, like, you don't have to go see it, right?
Right.
And if it was in theaters, there would be a rating on it. Right. You know, there would be trailers out there so you can get a taste to know if it's your cup of tea or not.
It's just that.
Like, well, I mean, it would be a cannibal movie, right? Someone who just, like, if someone came up to you and, like, said shit about that, it's like, well there's movies of every genre, right?
But that doesn't stop people down here, though. They'll still bitch about it.
We got Reverend Phelps here. That guy will bitch about anything. It doesn't matter what
they'll, it is. They'll bitch about it and act like they're appalled by it, even though they haven't never seen it, just so they can...
Or they've had abortions themselves.
Yeah.
That's a way to cover their scars.
That their dad gave them.
That's their way of tucking the baby back
sick
in.
Bastards.
Tucking the baby back in.
Bring her back to the fold.
No, I think when it comes to this short, I mean, because it's a short film, obviously it's not being seen by half as many, probably not even three quarters as many people as would normally see a feature film, right?
So, yeah, totally.
We haven't really caught any heat on anything really at all. I mean, people seem to understand, I think, with our films that it's not coming from any kind of malicious place.
I would actually be complimented if people would say...
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely not worried about that. I would love it, but...
Yeah, you know, I mean,
so
that
far.
Just means people who don't like our movies are seeing them, so...
You haven't had any Walker Outers yet?
You're watching the frames and giving our movie the time of day if you're going to complain about it.
Exactly. Nobody's walked out and started crying and wanted to sue you or anything yet?
Not yet.
Sweet. See, we still got Texas. We can pump this son of a bitch up.
Yeah, Texas primary weekend. Let's hope no one goes crazy over there.
They will down there, man. I guarantee
it. They'll eat
we went down there. That place will go giddy.
Yeah, me and Rich would have definitely loved to make it out, but I don't think we're going to be able to this
May. And that thing gets bigger every year.
Yeah, it's huge.
There's a lot of great people and movies we want to see.
Fucking Mini-Me's going to be there, man.
It's gotten so big this year, they decided they needed a midget just to make it a little smaller.
Mini-Me's going to be running around peeing on people on his stroller.
He'd just be hanging out in the corner going, Eric, Eric, Eric.
Oh, shit. Good time.
The film actually will also be playing at Dark Bridges Film Festival. It's a big genre film festival in
Saskatoon. It's a Saskatchewan in Canada, yeah.
Yeah, in Saskatoon.
It's a newer festival, but, I mean, they have a crazy lineup. They've got, a lot of stuff from Toronto Film Festival. They've got Kill List, Innkeepers, Bullhead, Blood Car. I mean, they've got a whole bunch of shit. Like, that's honestly...
Yeah, check that out.
Dark Bridges genre festival, yeah.
So I take it that there's a good reception up there for them, because there seems to be more and more of them popping up. I know Rumork had their huge deal they do every year.
Yeah. No, they're great times. I mean, the more the merrier, you know. The fans are insatiable, man, so why not give them the venues and give them the events? I mean, you just got to program good films, you know what I mean? And, you know, I guess some festivals, every festival's different, you know, but hopefully Dark Bridges keeps growing, because I think that's one of the better festivals coming out of Canada right now, so, and we're really excited to be a part of it this year.
Right. Well, I think that's some of the problem that a lot of the conventions and stuff run into, is they try to give people so much bang for their buck that they end up trying to overload everything with a bunch of crap, to where it'd be a lot better if they just sized it down a little bit and gave you quality rather than quantity on a lot of that stuff.
Definitely, 100% I agree.
You know, instead of having 100 films showing in 3 days and 98.9% of them are being crap, why don't you just show... Man. Maybe 5 a day and have them be superb, you know, shit that people are still talking about at the end of the day when they're all leaving and going back to wherever they came from. So I know that's a problem that I've ran into at a couple of the places I've gone. You go in to sit and watch some of those movies and you're like, no, I'll go walk around the floor.
Well, we've sat through full length films that are just turds, man. It's like they just turned the camera on and let their crew run around crapping everywhere. Yeah. It was horrible.
And that's just like me sitting on Netflix. I've seen 2 or 3 movies in the past 2 weeks that are just so god awful bad. I mean, I looked over at my wife and I'm like, they're not even trying to make stuff look real.
I mean, two-headed shark. That fucking Brooke Hogan in it, man. I was game for like 20 minutes. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm on this thing. Two-headed sharks, Brooke Hogan running around naked. Nope.
Game over.
Couldn't take it. Wanted to stab myself in the heart.
I think that's the way it was with Alligator X. I watched that piece of shit.
Nice. That's nice.
He pops up and the water doesn't even ripple. I'm like, how does this fucking not work? Somebody's fell asleep here.
Yeah, you got to keep that CGI down, Richard. None of that.
Believe me, man. Believe me. I hate it just as much as any real fan does. I don't really even know where it comes from or why it's used so often. I mean, there's obviously instances where it looks great, but it's
The idea is you're not supposed to notice it. You know what I mean? It's supposed to help you tell a story. It's not meant to be the story and be the focal point of the film,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, we actually do have like one instance of a digital effect in Familiar, and it's literally just an eye blink when he opens up his leg and
yeah,
you see the thing.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great
scene,
too. Yeah, that's a great scene.
And,
yeah,
and you would
scene.
Have no idea in the world that's yep. even CG, right?
And to be honest, I wanted to do that practically, but that would have cost way more money. So
our
effects guys and our editor are like, yeah, we know somebody who can just take care of that for you, throw in a couple blanks, and, you know, why not? So
Who did you have do all the effects for you?
We had this great team up in Toronto. Well, actually, I guess they're located in Hamilton, right, Zach?
I believe they
have a studio in Hamilton, but
either way,
they're close to Toronto. They're called the Butcher Shop, and it's run by this guy
Ryan
Lawagi
and Carlos Henriquez.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then
the ButcherShop.ca, I believe, is their website. Great, great special effects guys. And
we
used wonderful cinematographer Michael Yari Davidson shot Familiar for us on the Red camera, and it was just. I mean, you guys can see as much as we can. I thought it was just fucking beautiful.
Yeah, he did a great, great job on it.
If me and Rich had to pick a cinematographer, I mean, we could have picked a better one.
So you guys have been using them since the beginning? I mean, is that going to be on the full
them
length?
For Familiar. We got to collaborate with them for Familiar, and we're hoping to, who knows, make a lot more pictures together.
Yeah, that'd be a good team, man.
Yeah, the blood definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Really well.
I mean, who knows what the future holds? I mean, we have a great relationship, so I can't see us not doing it again.
Very awesome.
I'm down to my last White Russian. This is bullshit.
Well, it only comes in four packs because you have to carry your purse with the other.
I didn't want to come rolling in here with a gallon of milk.
Jesus.
It's only a one-hour show, Greg.
You do every other week.
Wow, wow, wow. I did get some of that sweet orange Dreamsicle milk. God, that's delicious.
I think you're going to be the one ending up with colonoscopy in the next couple of years. You keep eating all that shit.
No. I'm fit as a fiddle, baby.
Fiddles aren't very fit, by the way.
I've been running.
Have you seen the shape of a fiddle?
I've been running 10-yard sprints for the last couple of weeks.
Doing cock push-ups.
Yeah, one-mile cock push-ups.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Bam!
Lord have mercy. I wonder why we can't get guests on this show.
Hey, we only get the guests on this show that matter.
Exactly.
There you go.
We want quality over quantity.
That's why once every 4 years
we have a guest.
We get tired of hearing. Well, no, we never get tired of hearing ourselves talk, I guess.
Well, if you want, me and Zach will just be your stock guests. If you want,
yeah, hell yeah, you guys are more than welcome, man. You're definitely welcome to come back on when you guys got the new feature out.
You need to call us.
Yeah, we'd be more than happy to come on for sure.
That'd be a blast, and we'll definitely make sure to get info to you about these screenings coming up in KC, man. That'd be a blast.
Yeah, please.
To get it
I'd also love to talk to or get in touch with. I don't know. I think you said her name was Jessica. She writes for Horrorhound.
Yeah.
I'll get with you tomorrow sometime. Over.
Sure. Yeah. Please.
I'll get you some information. But hey, if you guys start doing something on your next project, let me and Tim know because we want walk-ons.
All right. Hey, we got some cameos written in for you.
I want to roll on. I just want to roll in and then roll out.
Richard's going to write those in tonight for you.
We'll hold the racing seats.
Yeah, you can have me be like a washing car attendant, and I'll be vacuuming the racing seats.
Just say, damn, those are some nice seats.
It was the best looking fucking racing seats in a Toyota I ever seen.
This is sweet.
Kick ass. Kick ass.
I love it.
So what else you guys got on the hook for the weekend? More promotions or?
Always.
You guys are meaty machines, man. I always see you.
Yeah, we just saw a great review just came out actually for Familiar from her name's Kelly. She writes for Exploited magazine. It's on. You can read the review. I think it's on my wall and Richard's wall. I'm sure I'm gonna upload it to IMDb. But yeah, that's a great review that just came out from Kelly. I can't pronounce her last name, so I don't think I'm gonna try to. But well, wonderful, great, great girl who writes for that magazine, and that's the latest review, and we've just been getting a bunch of great reviews.
I'd seen a real nice write-up from Fangoria, man. I was looking around for recent stuff, and They had a real nice write-up on there.
Yeah, on we were lucky enough to got written up in 305, in issue 305 of the magazine. Very nice. Thanks to of course our great cinematographer Michael Yari Davidson, who was able to get us a wonderful spread in Fangoria magazine, as well as we have a little write up of Worm and Familiar on Fangoria.com. Mm. I'm not sure if that's the one you're referring to.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that sounds like the one I had read.
And we've had Dread Central review the film. A lot of great companies were nice enough to review the film.
Yeah, the Dread
was that's always great to get good feedback from critics.
The Dread Central.
And people like yourselves, me and Richard appreciate it so much, you having us on and just letting us talk about our movie and letting us target that many more people.
We apologize that it's taken so long to get you guys back on. I know we've been working.
It's all good. As long as we're here, we made it happen. So I really appreciate that.
Tim has an odd work schedule, and I get kind of an odd work schedule every once in a while.
That's not it at all. I was out in Denver fucking around for the last couple of weeks. I just up and go into the Rockies sometimes.
He was watching Pagan Metal.
Find my inner eagle.
Nice.
He goes out to put thunder in the mountains.
You got to throw down. You got to throw down every once in a while. You can't get locked up. You got to find a bear to stab in the neck.
Oh, White Russians to drink.
Oh Lord.
White Russians.
Oh, it's going to be a long, long.
It sure is.
So, how many White Russians have you had? Four or five?
One.
Shut up.
Itty bitty bottles.
They're little bottles, man. I don't know what they're thinking.
The bottles are so small that they come with little rubber nipples on them, so you can nurse them.
It's like sucking. It's like sucking on a sweet Russian teat.
A man's teat.
Easy. This is pure cream, baby.
Yeah, it's gonna be pure cream. Mm. Keep sucking on them things.
I am. And tomorrow. It's my birthday. I'll do whatever the fuck I want.
It is your birthday tomorrow.
Yay!
Oh wow, is it?
Yep, yay. It is.
Oh, happy belated birthday.
Thanks, boys.
Happy birthday. I'll make sure to say that to you tomorrow as well.
And he's a grandfather now, guys.
I am a grandfather. See what happens when we don't talk for a few months?
Wow.
That's a scary thought.
Kids get squirted out. take up alcoholism. Fight battery.
Not the kid.
Fight mountain rams. Love my life.
It's beautiful.
Oh, Lord. It's gone so far now, there's no coming back.
Time to flush.
It's all over.
We're definitely going to get some of the fucking promo wagon fired up, guys. We're going to get some shit rolling on this. So.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Please.
Get some of this crap out of the way and get some real good quality films out
there. We need to do it old school and just break in there and rip out what they're showing.
Fuck, it's all digital now.
Do it, sabotage it, man. I think that's the best way to see Familiar, when it just catches you off guard.
Sabotage it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying at the drive-in. How long did you sit between films last year?
It was quite a ways.
You could throw that up 20 minutes, throw that up.
That's perfect time.
Boom.
Yeah.
Right into the next feature. And it's a lot better than watching Singing Hot Dogs.
I don't know about that. We don't get Singing Hot Dogs, or I'd enjoy it.
Oh, boy.
I have a Singing Hot Dog for you later.
We could mesh the two together. There could be a Singing Hot Dog coming out of his leg.
That'll sell a lot of refreshments.
Out of the eyeball hole.
You guys, there's just no need for this abuse.
So what'd you guys do with the prosthetic little rubber beast thing? Did anybody keep that or?
Oh yeah, it's sitting on top of my shelf in my closet. I'm looking at it right now.
That would actually look a lot better in my china cabinet in my new man cave that I'm going to putting together. So if you guys want a nice home for that, it could summer vacation down here in Missouri. I'll be more than happy to take care of that.
Send it down there for the summer.
We're rotated around. It's all good.
It'll be like the little Travelocity gnome. We can just send around different people. They can take pictures of it.
How many different creature ideas? Did you instantly visualize that, or did you guys come up with different concepts for it?
I came up with the concept just through sketches, right? I like to draw, so for me, I always use
illustrations. It's a great aid for my writing. So I was just thinking about what would be interesting, and when I was writing, I was like, okay, it's some kind of a tuberous, like tumor mass type thing that he pulls out of his leg. And then as I started drawing, you know, it started adding the tentacles and, you know, like the gross little spots and growths on it. And then obviously I wanted to put the eye on there just to give the thing some sort of a characteristic that you could focus on, right? If it was just this this lump, it would have still been still been effective, but I think having the eye in there just kind of gives it a human element. And it's
creepy as hell, man. That's perfect.
Yeah, so it's... So yeah, I mean, I you know, I still have the sketches kicking around, and they literally look identical to the end product. I mean, that's a testament to our special effects team. Just like a lot of the tumors on the body, I mean, I handed over sketches, and they went to work, and it's amazing. You know, they were able to replicate everything that I came up with, and it was a lot of hard work. This, you know, obviously special effects are fun, but it's a lot of hard work.
And
I'm glad that we went through all the trial and error stuff on our short films, so I can, you know, really know what I'm doing when it comes to the feature stuff. You know.
Yeah. Free for all.
Yeah, the special. I wasn't expecting the special effects to be as over the top on this one.
Because Worm was, you know, it was intense, but it was just real. You know, it was
more edge of your seat. Yeah. You know, not knowing.
Yeah, exactly.
Suspense. This was just
familiar. Is more actually, you know, gives you the blood and gore that.
But
I guess all the horror fans want to see.
Right, but that not being in Worm, I mean, with the gore and stuff not being in Worm or any gore or any violence at all, you still had that whole concept of just at any moment something could pop off with that whole anticipation.
That's, you know, that's for Nolan, man. I mean, the dude's...
Right.
He's a genius.
Yep, I mean, yeah, the thing about Worm is about the violence of the mind, you know what I mean? It's about also the power of words. I mean, the film is essentially a character monologue, right? And it's about seeing if I can creep people out and unhinge people with just using words, you know? And thankfully we had an amazing actor like Robert to help me do that. And the thing that's really exciting about the feature-length version is you're going to have a whole lot of that, but there is going to be a little bit of a... I'm not going to give it away, right? But there's going to be a little bit something in there for people who enjoy a bit of the violence and blood as well, but probably not in the way somebody who's seen the short would expect. But you know, I mean, we're really excited for the future, and it's going to have you know, everything that made Worm successful and made people appreciate it, but it's also going to have something. It's going to have elements of Familiar in it as well, stuff that people appreciated about Familiar. So, yeah. And obviously it's going to have Robert, and it's going to have me and Zach, and so hopefully that's a great recipe. I think we're a good team. We know we're comfortable with each other, and we know what we're doing with this material. We're, you know, we might not be good at doing anything else, any other types of films, but when it comes to this stuff, I mean, this is what we do. This is what we have to offer. So far people have been digging it, and if they like the shorts, they're definitely going to like what the feature is going to be. So
you guys, if you plan on putting the shorts on the feature when it gets released?
Yeah, I think that would be a great thing to do. I mean, it's funny. I think what would be cool is, you know, when we do the Worm feature, you have Worm on that, and then maybe in the future a Familiar feature happens, and then throw the Familiar short on that, you know?
I like the sounds of that.
Kind of keep them packaged together a little bit.
Yeah,
the short film Worm can, because I'm sure a majority of the people who are going to see the feature won't even know the short even did exist. So it could just be a nice little compliment to the feature film when
you pop
that in and see, like, oh wow, there was a short film first. That's really cool.
Then
they can actually see the short first, and they might even appreciate the feature that much more.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure, man. I mean,
hide it in there as an Easter egg.
Yep.
And yeah, like Rich was saying, Familiar, if for everyone who's seen Familiar, it does end in a way where the door is potentially open for the story to continue.
Right.
Well, I mean, the door is definitely open. I mean, and just because the character dies in the film, that doesn't mean anything, obviously.
For the daughter to wreck the car? Did the daughter make it home right?
Yeah, she actually gets pregnant in the scene, but we didn't show you.
Oh, hell yeah. Because, see, that's what happens. I got three daughters, man. Yeah. I know. They don't ever borrow my car. I know what happens. I take the seats out.
The daughter gets pregnant by the slug in the leg.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Hides in the racing seats and impregnates her while she's sitting in there. Bingo.
But, Daddy, I didn't do it.
Another thing where me and Zach have been talking about is at some point, you know, if we do manage to get the worm feature made and then a familiar feature made, is I would love to do a Dodd Thanksgiving film where you have the brothers come together over the Thanksgiving weekend.
And do it.
And I'm very serious.
And that's
about
a romantic
that.
Comedy.
Yeah,
right? That's going to
be
the romantic comedy.
Be phenomenal. I really do.
Have all that. Have all that. That just pure.
Like, you've seen one of the Dodd brothers in a school setting. You've seen familiar. You've seen a more of a family. You know, more of a family setting.
That would be fucking brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah, the Dodd family fucking reunion.
Dude, that'd be brilliant.
Have all that dismal existence just burst out of the turkey.
Because Thanksgiving is that. Everybody's just sitting around going, I'm going to fucking stab you in the eye.
Everybody's just
fork.
Everybody just looking at each other.
But
the
Dodds would do it.
The
Dodds would do it.
But exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
No, not even have any
possibilities.
Just have it all like them. Have it all in thought. Don't even have any actual.
Do it in stop motion. You know, a Robert Nolan stop motion film. And do it better than fucking Tim Burton's turds that he's releasing later. Bastard.
Johnny Depp
as Robert Nolan.
Yeah. That sounds great.
And he'd be wearing his funny sunglasses.
Oh,
never.
Hell.
What?
Todd's giving us the wrap up.
Holy crap, boys.
It rocks.
Well, I got birthday presents I got to go open up.
Uh-oh.
I got to get out of here.
Keep it down low.
I got a white Russian to open up.
What's his name? Okay. That was a bad joke.
Alexander.
All right, guys. Well, thank you once again for being patient with us.
Thank you very much for having us on. We really, really appreciate it, and we're very excited to come on.
Anytime you guys want to come, man, just give us a holler.
Amazing. Yeah, we'll definitely take you up on that.
Get a big box.
Yeah, thank you again.
Get a big box of shit together that you want us to give away if you guys have everything lined up, and we'll hand it out.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, we'll definitely talk about that. That would be great.
So we'll definitely get something going.
Have an awesome birthday tomorrow.
Will do. Thank you very much.
And, I'll make sure to wish you happy birthday tomorrow. it actually is it's tomorrow today for me now.
It's really my birthday right now. It's since Saturday, but. Saturday. Oh, wait, no, it's Friday. Oh, I don't know what day.
No, it's still Friday for you. It's Saturday for me.
That's true, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it is. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
You still have 46 minutes.
No way.
Exactly, yeah.
That's giving me enough time to get to the liquor store and buy me some more white Russians.
More white Russians. Get some black Russians.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
There's plenty of them.
It's a soul.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Thank you very much for having us on again. Appreciate it, man.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
See you next time.